tune in. The airwaves will continue to get weirdly wonderful.
Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to KURU 89.1 FM, Silver City, New Mexico, and streaming online at KURU891.org. You are tuned to Tuesday Morning Beat. My name's Mary McHugh. I'll be with you for the next hour, and my guest today is Holly Noonan. She is with the Crooked Forest Institute, and in just a few minutes, we'll be hearing from Holly Noonan to tell us about this project, what it means, where it's been, where it's going. And it's quite fascinating. Quick look at the weather. It is already hot under fair skies out at the Grant County Airport, and that would be 86 degrees already, and predicted high of 96 degrees. And there's rain in the forecast, but not until Thursday. So we can expect hot weather in the mid-90s during the day and mid to upper 60s during the night. Once again, thank you so much for tuning into KURU. I have a quick announcements here. There is a peace walk that's going to be happening on Thursday, September 10th at the Hearth. And that's located at 1915 North Swan Street. And that is a peace walk is a meditative labyrinth experience. It is being sponsored by Unity del Corazon, and that will be Thursday, September 10th. You can come in at 2 o'clock to the Hearth, or you can, 2 o'clock to 6:30 is what are the hours for that. Very interesting. It's a meditative labyrinth experience at the Hearth. Looks like it's free. And also, coming up on Monday, August 31st, Ann Meredith will be at Avalon Books, which is located at 405 North Ballard. She is an amazing filmmaker. She will be discussing and reading excerpts of her award-winning script from the acclaimed social impact I'm reading a promo here. I just want to make it sense. Anyway, she's creating a film called Special. And she will be speaking about her film, and she might even be recruiting people to be part of the production in New Mexico. And Meredith was on my show in the last month talking about her film called Special. And it's she'll have a special guest speaker, which is Zariah Pettis. She is from the Silver Regional Sexual Assault Group. And the movie, Special, is an empowering story about healing from sexual harassment, rape, and sexual assault. Once again, that's at Avalon Books, Monday, August 31st. And I believe the time is 7 p.m. So, thanks again for tuning in to Tuesday Morning Beat.
Men on a dead man's chest. Oh,
and ahoy, mates. This is Glenn Turman sailing aboard the Hispaniola. Join me, Keith David, John Goodman, Taj Mahal, and a dozen bloodthirsty pirates. Treasure Island, a telling for the new world.
Join us for this listening adventure on Story Space, Sundays from 11 a.m. to noon, right here on KURU. Programming on KURU is made possible by its members and supporters, including the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Silver City. The fellowship welcomes all who support a responsible search for truth and meaning, social justice, and community service. The fellowship celebrates diversity, welcoming people of every lifestyle and ideology, and strives for radical inclusion, creating a space that honors every part of people's identities, backgrounds, and experiences. Learn more at UUFSC.com.
And thank you for tuning to Tuesday Morning Beat here on Gila Members Community Radio. And my guest is Holly Noonan. Good morning, Holly. Thanks for coming in from out in the Members Valley to join us on Tuesday Morning Beat.
Good morning, Mary. Thank you for the invitation.
You're very welcome. And You've been, you're the spearhead for Crooked Forest Institute here in southwest New Mexico. Let's just jump right in and tell us about that project, please.
Okay, you bet. Well, it started in 2022, so we're about 4 years old. And the origin of the project is actually that I had experienced homelessness myself. And that experience came on the heels of an illness that basically I lived in Maine for 17 years and I got sick from mold. And I couldn't get better there. And so I moved to the desert in a Hail Mary effort to get better. And it did work. I ended up camping in the Gila Wilderness for a solid 12 months, sleeping in a hammock, hand washing my clothes. It was crazy what I had to do. And even then, I actually had to live outside. I had to sleep outside for 6 whole years. And in the process of recovering my health, I realized that what I need is specialized housing for my sensitivities. And I discovered a small property here in Silver City that was a garage that had been built but had never been occupied. It was a project that the garage got built, and then the foundation for a 2,000 square foot house was in, but then the builder abandoned the project, and this beautiful brick garage was just sitting there for several years, 7 years actually, without having been used. So I bought this garage and I made it into a house, and I finished that project in 2022. It was sort of my COVID project. And once I was safe and calm and quiet inside this beautiful house, this space that I had created for myself while I was sick, I just had this Crooked Forest project come through me like a freight train. And it just was like this, I think, this post-traumatic rush of creativity. And I wrote the whole website in 1 week in June of 2022. And that's where it started.
Wow. So what is the Crooked Forest Project? Just what is it?
We are focused on how to create both affordable and healthy housing. So the current situation right now in this country is you either get healthy housing that is not affordable, or you get affordable housing that is not healthy.
What do you mean by healthy?
Okay, great question. So one of the things that has happened slowly, quietly over the last 80 years is a decline in our indoor air quality. And that is because of a lot of the materials that we use in modern houses. They actually off-gas quite a bit. If you've ever stepped into, for example, a brand new RV, it has a very strong smell of plastic. And it takes years for that to off-gas. That is also true of most modern housing. If the builder is not particularly focused on high-quality, low VOC materials, the indoor air of the home is going to have quite a few chemicals in it. And it's more than 100,000 chemicals that are new in our environment since World War II. It's way more than you think. And it's normal now, quote-unquote, but there are 25% of us, one out of four, that genetically cannot handle this toxic load and stay healthy.
Mm-hmm. So the Crooked Forest Institute has several goals and purposes. One of them is to create healthy housing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In it, yeah. Explain.
Okay, so,
great.
You know, when we're looking at the situation, like, okay, we used to have healthy housing, and it used to be available to working class people. And in this town, look at Chihuahua Hill and Brewer Hill. That's where it was. So a 400 square foot adobe home was a very healthy home, and they're still around 100, 150 years later. So they have a lot more staying power than the manufactured housing that is the typical low-income housing right now, which is specifically designed to wear out before the mortgage is over. These homes are designed to last not more than 30 years, and they're built with materials that off-gas for at least 10 years. So I was speaking with a lovely older woman, an elder who lives in our community, who is a sensitive. She knew she was a sensitive, and 11 years ago, she purchased a new modular home. They used to call them mobile homes. They're manufactured homes that and we'll get into the mobile, not being mobile anymore later, but these homes are manufactured with high VOC materials, and she got quite sick moving into this brand new home because it took 10 years to off-gas. So, you know, 150-year-old adobe, I think you know about this because you live in one.
I do.
They are wonderful buildings. And, of course, every home needs maintenance. You know, these homes need to be maintained, especially the wooden elements of these homes need to be well maintained if the home is meant to last. But the oldest continuously inhabited home in the United States is the Taos Pueblo. That's 1,000 years of continuous inhabitation, a 4-story adobe building.
Uh-huh.
And so what's the difference between modern housing and adobe housing? It's much, much lower toxic impact in an adobe home. Because think about it. There's no adhesives. There's no paint. Paint is the single largest source of microplastics in our environment. Paint. So when you drive by the Sherwin Williams store and you see their logo, Paint the World, with red paint going over the globe, this is major. 50%+ of microplastics in our environment come from house paint because it gets washed off the house and off the brushes and down the drains and into the waterways. So there's no paint in an adobe house. There's no adhesives. There's there might be some silicone caulking, but there's no vinyl, you know, particle board, plastic. There's no off-gassing. In fact, the indoor air in an adobe house that is built with healthy soil has an intact and old microbial ecosystem. And, you know, this is a really interesting topic because you and I have something in common. I don't know if you remember this, but before you bought your home, mm-hmm. I lived in it.
I remember that.
Yeah. So you live in the home that was the post office in San Lorenzo. And it's
built in 1895.
Okay, 1895. Okay, so 2-foot-thick walls.
At least.
Right. And that was the home that I had the aha moment in 2018.
Uh-huh.
So when I came in from camping in the wilderness, that was where I moved into, was your house, before you guys bought it and renovated it. So you might remember that house has a north side kitchen that's stick built, and it was an add-on kitchen.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And when you were renovating it, did you find a mold colony behind the sink?
Well... I don't believe, I'm not sure we did, because I was not in the house while that was happening. My husband gutted that room.
Yeah, I talked to him, and he found it.
Oh, he did.
He did. I could feel it. And this was what was so interesting, is in the stick-built part of that house, where there was mold behind the sink, and of course, I didn't own the house, so I couldn't fix it myself. I had a big problem in that kitchen, but as soon as I walked into the living room, I felt good.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, wow, why is that? Because it's not like there's no mold spores in an adobe wall. There's mold spores all through soil.
Mm-hmm.
So what's happening there? Why is that? Why
I don't
that
know. What is happening?
It's an old and intact microbial ecosystem, right? So if a mold spore exists in an ecosystem that is complete, it will not allow a colony to thrive. A colony requires food and no opposition. Right. And so in an intact ecosystem, a mold spore can't get a foothold because it's kept in check by the rest of the ecosystem. So that's what it is.
I'm going to think of my walls in a whole new light.
Your walls are literally magical. I'm not kidding. So mm-hmm. what we do is, now as modern humans, we get into our car and we breathe all the chemicals that are outgassing in our car, and we come into town and we go into a Walmart and we put these products on our skin, we use these personal care products, and we are exposed to just dozens, hundreds of chemicals. And, you know, they've been, the United States government has been tracking this. They track the toxic load of chemicals in umbilical cord blood. And in 2005, it was more than 250 chemicals in a baby. So this is what's normal now.
Don't get much of a chance right out of the chute.
Right. And so genetically speaking, one out of four of us have a problem with this. We have methylation issues. We have detoxification pathway issues. And it's just hard to maintain good health when you have a toxic burden that's just above tolerance. And so this is what's happening in an adobe home with an earthen plaster and earthen bricks. You literally have microbes that are helping to metabolize the chemicals that are coming out of your skin and your breath.
Mm-hmm.
You have these, what my friend Kwaki calls micro homies.
Micro homies.
They're your allies.
I can hear Kwaki saying that.
Yeah. They're your allies in helping keep your indoor air clean. These are your allies in the soil that are helping you grow nutrient-dense food, and they actually literally help you clean your air. You've heard the stories about mycelial networks and mushroom colonies that can clean up toxic spills.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mold is incredible. Our planet would not exist in the way that it is now without it. It is not my enemy. It is an integral part of our ecosystem. We need it. But we also need to stop feeding it junk food. Because what ends up happening is the molds are evolving. And so when we are dumping millions of gallons of flame retardant chemicals on the wilderness to keep it from burning, to prophylactically stop it from burning, we are selecting for molds that can eat those chemicals. Mm. So the molds are mutating and becoming sort of super beings.
And, well, you often read every now and then that somebody has come. In fact, there was a high school student in another country who was working with, I believe it was algae, to break down plastics.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Yes.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Yes.
And, you know, that is amazing that there are micro homies that are willing to do that for us to clean up our mess. But also we can stop making a mess. And for some of us, you know, for at least 25% of us, and more people really don't understand how much they need this clean indoor air. And, you know, the feeling of living in an adobe, you tell me, like, you sleep so deeply because there's something about the house being electrically grounded to the earth. You're in sort of a Faraday cage in a way. You're in a space that is electrically grounded, and that changes electrically how your body operates. And there are many health benefits to living in an adobe house.
So where does adobe housing feature in with your Crooked Forest Institute plans?
So when we're thinking about how can we have both healthy and affordable housing, you know, our mind goes to what happened in the last 100 years. It used to be affordable. It used to be healthy housing. What happened that now makes it only possible for the wealthiest New Mexicans to have an adobe house? Why? So what we're doing at Crooked Forest is we're designing synergistic economic systems that will complement each other and allow for this to happen again, affordable adobes for working class people. And we're doing this with four different strategies. The first one is that they're small. They used to be small. They still can be small. There are plenty of people who are super happy with a small house. Our flagship design is only 400 square feet, but it also has a 100 square foot front porch that can be converted into a greenhouse. So if adobe is $300 or $400 per square foot, we need to have a smaller square footage. The second strategy is that we're going to build them on district utilities so that 10 homes are sharing the cost of putting in the infrastructure. Rather than having a homeowner have to buy their own land, put in their own septic, run their own power poles, and, you know, drill their own well, that's immediately not affordable housing. If you have 10 homes that are sharing the expense of one system, that becomes affordable. And that only makes sense if you are also sharing the ownership of the land. So this is one of our main strategies that require some community education, because we're really focused on community land trusts. Now, community land trusts are an economic strategy. The very first one was actually created in 1969 in Georgia, and it was designed to protect 6,000 acres for 12 black farming families and to protect them from the economic majority. And guess what? It worked. It worked. That community land trust still exists. That land is still under protection and owned by those families. They had some serious struggles over the last decades, but they prevailed and they're still there. And over the last 56 years, they have figured out how to create community land trusts in an economic and legal framework that really protects the interests and rights of oppressed populations and underserved, economically disenfranchised and underserved populations. So who's that? That's low-income Americans, that's people of color, that's women, all women, that's transgender people, that's the LGBTQ community, that's anybody who has tried to obtain a good education and develop equity in our economy and has had any kind of pushback. And that's mostly everybody. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people that fall
except
under
for the billionaires. Yeah. Yeah.
So, and what we're planning on is creating housing for 100% AMI. AMI means average median income. And that's a changing number. That's different for every zip code. And in this zip code, it's almost $48,000. So, and that's actually a pretty good living, you know, for, I was surprised that it's that high. And what that means is there's a lot of wealthy people in our community that are throwing that median number upward because mm-hmm. I know a lot of people, and I'm sure you do too, that are making it on half of that.
Mm-hmm.
So average median income is 48,000 or less. That's who we would be building this housing for. And community land trust housing typically goes to 120 AMI or less. So what that means is when you are buying a home on a community land trust, you own the home and you're actually paying a lot lease fee for the land where your house is positioned. You own the home. You are accruing equity the whole time you're owning a home. You are able to sell that house anytime you want, but it's a deed-restricted sale. You have to promise to sell it to another low-income family. And in that way, the subsidy that is required for setting up low-income housing on a community land trust, it does require a subsidy. It does require an investment by the community, but only once. As a compared to all other affordable housing strategies that are employed throughout this country, I cannot say enough good things about community land trusts. They have 1/10 the foreclosure rate of the open market. They turn renters into owners. They pass down generational wealth. They protect economically disenfranchised populations. They protect land in conservation, but also this is economic protection for low-income people who, frankly, need protection. We need to create sanctuary in this realm of, like, end-stage capitalism, where literally the wealthiest people are creating strategies and business plans, investment portfolios to extract wealth from the poorest people, and I'd love to talk about that.
Yes.
Our emphasis on community-owned land comes from, you know, let's look at what is our naturally occurring unsubsidized affordable housing. It's manufactured housing communities, mm-hmm. or mobile home parks, quote unquote. They're not mobile. The homes are not mobile.
No, they're not.
But the lending and the laws treat them as though they are mobile. And what's happening now is an absolute national crisis. So Joanne DeMichael of Land of Enchantment, Manufactured Housing Alliance, and Crooked Forest Institute teamed up together, and we screened A Good Home, which was a film that we screened at the Silco in 2024. Did you come to that?
Sarah Terry.
That's right. Sarah Terry was the filmmaker.
Right. And we interviewed her, I believe, here on KURU.
Okay.
And sadly, in the last year, Sarah Terry is no longer with us.
Yeah. I'm so sorry to hear that.
It was such a sad passing.
I know.
She was a documentary filmmaker, if you remember Sarah Terry. She's really was one of my heroes.
Yeah. It's really worth looking up this film on YouTube, A Good Home.
A Good Home, yes.
And
it really is.
What it does is it describes in detail the plight of what is happening all over this country where manufactured housing communities or quote-unquote mobile home parks are becoming part of an asset class. And there are, like, mobile home park universities that are cropping up, training people how to buy and sell these parks for profit.
And with no regard to the residents.
Absolutely no regard.
Yeah, it's
And so one of the things that they say in the advertising, in the educational materials for these investors is that these are great investments because they know these homes are not mobile and the residents are captive.
Right.
So they can put the rent up, the lot lease up, and these people cannot move their homes.
The structures are, compared to a stick-built home or an adobe-built home, the structures are essentially disposable, and thus the population that resides in them are often considered disposable as well.
That's very sad and very true. But here's the thing that people are not considering. Because of the law structure in this country, landowners get all the rights. But in most mobile home parks, and let's talk specifically about La Plata, which is a mobile home park in Silver City on Ridge Road that just got sold to a Florida investor. Did you know this?
I did not know that it was recently sold.
It was recently sold. And Joanne and I have been ringing this alarm bell for years now, two years now, and it finally happened. We have said, this is coming, it's sweeping across the country, it got as close as Las Cruces, and then in the last 2 weeks, it happened. So what that meant is the residents of La Plata had no say. They were not notified. And all of a sudden, there's a new owner. They have jacked the rent up 75%. They've put erroneous fees on.
Wait a minute. They increased the lot lease 75%.
That's right. That's right. And in other places in this country, the lot lease is sometimes triple. And so what this means is people who are living on Social Security or people who are on fixed incomes, low incomes, can no longer pay for the lot lease of the home that they own outright. Okay? Mm-hmm. And so what that means is they need to leave. And the horrible thing about this is that is actually part of the investor's strategy. Mm-hmm. It's literally in their business plan to incentivize these poor people to leave their biggest asset behind because they can't afford to move it so that they can keep it and rent it out.
So I really do feel that the people are treated as disposable commodities.
So this is the thing that we really need to point out. The value of the land, and specifically the value of the land under La Plata, is not as high as the value of all of the homes put together. Okay, so the value of the land at La Plata is around $900,000. The value of all the homes is above that, more like $1 million. Why are the landowners getting all the rights? Why aren't the homeowners getting rights? So as an example, I just learned this yesterday. One of the fees that the new owners have implemented is a pet fee, $35 a month to have your own pet, your companion animal.
In your own home.
In your own home. So if there are any damages, it would be in your home that you own. Why is that legal? It should not be legal. This should not be legal. And let's be clear, there have been opportunity to purchase legislation passed in 22 of our 50 states. New Mexico is not one of them. So in this state that has a lot of protections for low-income people, it has no protections from this kind of egregious capitalistic, this is end-stage capitalism, predation. Mm-hmm. This should not be legal. And it is. All of the rights are going to the landowners. And that's not fair. So how do we create systems that even the playing field, even the scales, we own land together. That's how we do it.
That's the antidote.
That's the antidote.
And that's what you're working on.
That's what I'm working on, yeah.
Tell us about the philosophy behind that. And then, folks, if you're just joining me this morning on Tuesday Morning Beat here on KURU, my guest is Holly Noonan, and she's the one of the strong people behind the Crooked Forest Institute. Holly, continue about that, please.
Okay. So, you know, this issue with manufactured housing communities has been around for decades. In New Hampshire, gosh, I don't even know how long ago it was, at least 20 years ago, maybe even 30 years ago, they realized that this was going to be a problem. And an organization called ROC USA developed. And now Rock USA has become this incredible ally to the manufactured housing communities around the country, because if a manufactured housing community lives in a state that has opportunity to purchase laws, it is akin to right of first refusal, but it's not as strict. Joanne explained to me yesterday, it's not as strict as the right of first refusal, meaning you get the first right to buy land if it's going to sell. The opportunity to purchase means that the homeowners that live on the property that is intended to be sold get a certain amount of time to band together and put together a deal that would allow them to purchase the land together and become their own landowners. And so this has happened many, many times. I'm not sure how many times Joanne would have the statistics on this. Hundreds, if not thousands of times across the United States. But not all manufactured housing communities or mobile home parks are eligible for ROC USA. ROC USA, it's wonderful as an asset to help come in, because what they'll do is they'll put together the loan package, they'll train the residents on how to run a board of directors, how to manage the infrastructure, they'll completely set them up to be self-sufficient and become the new owners. And once the homeowners are now the landowners, then they are safe in perpetuity. Then
it really changes the dynamic.
It totally changes the dynamic. Then people who own their own homes outright, they get to live there for the rest of their lives. They get to hand the home down to their kids or the spot down. It completely changes their lives. Mm-hmm. And yes, often the rates might go up, because often at the time a mobile home park or manufactured housing community is sold, there are usually some infrastructure repairs and maintenance that need to be done. That's always true. But with a little bit of a higher, increase in rent, at the same time that the homeowners are now landowners, they might have like an initial hike in their rent, but now they're owners and their rent's going to stay that. So as market rate rises, their rent stays stable and they're in charge of it. They get a vote. They get to be part of their own board of directors. So with that said, we are here at Crooked Forest Institute, and Joe Kennedy is my co-founder. He's an earthen architect who's been at it for 40 plus years. We're looking at this scenario where, okay, the naturally occurring unsubsidized affordable housing in our country and in this community are manufactured housing communities. And they're wonderful, especially Joanne's. I mean, I think they're all probably wonderful, but Joanne's in particular is a group of solo agers and mostly women who are literally taking care of each other.
She has a very lovely description of that.
Oh, my gosh.
Of how, and that's, yeah.
It's wonderful. Yeah. It's wonderful. I mean, just a neighborhood full of lovely, lovely people who walk each other's dogs. They get each other's groceries. They take each other to medical appointments. They're like literally supporting each other like family. And think about that. Think about that. That is architecture, social architecture, that literally lowers the taxpayer burden for social services because people are taking care of each other. So we at Crooked Forest are looking at this as an economic problem. How come we can no longer have affordable and healthy housing? How come everybody's living in their own box and not talking to each other? Can we design neighborhoods where people are not only incentivized to interact, but they're actually growing food together? They're taking care of each other.
And you have purchased some land out in the Membrees Valley, correct?
Yes, we sure have, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And can you tell us about what's happening on that piece of property?
Mm-hmm. You bet. So I just want to underscore the fact that this project, the Crooked Forest Project, has been something that has tumbled forward in grace for the last 4 years. So what I mean by that, it has just been a series of like serendipity and coincidences and beautiful, amazing happenstance. So in 2024, we were blessed with a $200,000 grant from the Tides Foundation, and we spent that whole thing on land. And how we found that land was another story of serendipity and coincidence and wonderful, you know, grace. And so what ended up happening is in October of 2024, we purchased 52 acres on Route 35 in the Membrees Valley with no bank loan. So That's a wonderful head start. And not only that, the land is incredible adobe dirt. We just made 4,000 adobe bricks.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
4,000.
4,000.
And how many bricks does it take to build the 400 square foot?
I'd say less than 3,000. We have not built that prototype yet, but the one that we're about to build is the 600 square foot model that we have. So we have three models. We have a 150 square foot model, a 400, and a 600.
Uh-huh.
The 150 is a little cabin, and we did that prototype last year. So this year is going to be the 600 square foot model. And what we're hoping to do on the 52 acres soon is actually do the whole prototype neighborhood with 10 homes all at once. So one of the keys to this being affordable is that we do all 10 at once. We build 10 at a time with shared infrastructure on community owned land. And here's the fourth strategy, with volunteer and student labor. So what we would like to do is turn this into a career and technical education center, which is a vocational education center. So this is a school. This is our education campus, this 52 acres. We will have six projects developed over probably the next 10 years. All told, it's a $16 million project. We're looking for the first $2.5 million. And that is going to be the first stage of development, which will be one prototype neighborhood with 10 small homes on shared infrastructure and the brick manufacturing operation with some workforce housing. Mm-hmm. So that's our near-term goal. We're putting together the capital stack to figure out where this might come from. We're talking about the Opportunity Enterprise Grant through New Mexico Finance and possibly the Collateral Assistance Program through Economic Development Division. And I'm also hoping to hook up with the JTIP people soon to find out about hiring a general contractor. So we're figuring this out little by little, where the funding will come from, but it's coming. I can just feel it. I just know it.
So are you asking for people to invest at this time?
We have not set up an impact investment portal, but we are going to do that soon. So impact investment is one of the slices in our capital stack. And impact investment, you look up what the definition of that is in Google, but essentially it's socially and environmentally responsible investment. And that is what this project is. What we are endeavoring to do is prove that it is possible to establish human habitation that literally increases the biodiversity around it. So what we're talking about is plants and animals and insects and microhomies. We want more of those, more and more and more. Because typically, residential building now, 27% of our residential building supply materials come from China. A lot of our building materials are toxic. The building site is toxic. God forbid these homes burn. That leaves a toxic stain on the earth for hundreds of years. But on an adobe building site, not only is it healthy, there's no trash that's left. But literally putting together the walls, working with the plaster and the mortar is good for you. It's literally good for your lungs. It's putting in, like, if you're breathing dust, you're breathing, like, an intact microbial ecosystem of good microbes. So it's literally good for you. So that's our near-term goals for the 52 acres.
Well, Holly, this is fascinating. Why don't we take a very quick music break, and we shall be right back with Holly Noonan. And she is telling us about the Crooked Forest Institute.
Thank you.
Well, that was a rendition of Freebird. I bet you haven't heard that one before. And it's from the Chapman Stick duet. And the stick instrument looks like a dulcimer. It looks like a very long guitar. And that is how they create that amazing sound on that song that we have heard for many years, Freebird. I bet that song's it's got to be 50 or 60 years old. But welcome back, Holly Noonan, here on Tuesday Morning Beat. And during the break, we were just talking about the land that has been purchased on Highway 35 in the Membrees Valley, and that you've already been out there making adobe bricks. Mm-hmm. How did that go?
Great. It went great. So in this case, we hired a local albañil. He's a Mexican mason, and he lives part-time on his ranch in Chihuahua. And so he got a little bit later start because of what was going on in his ranch, I think. And so I thought we were going to start mid-April, but it was more mid-June. And so he did 4,000 bricks in 30 days, but it was like the monsoon had started, so he had to get very creative. But he did it. He did it. It was amazing. So my apprentice, Alice, and I made the brick forms just simple out of pine, and we just made two forms, and the bricks are 8 by 16 in dimension and, you know, 4 inches thick. So it'll be a 16 inch thick wall. And so he just did it the old fashioned way. He brought a water trailer and a gas powered mixing machine, and he dug up the earth. And as our adobe mentor, Larry Roybal, said, this dirt is pancake mix. Literally just add water. It's perfect. These bricks are amazing. They're dark brown. They're super solid. They're like incredible. One segment of the bricks he made and then didn't cover them up just to see how they would do in a rainstorm, and they did fine. They didn't melt at all. There's a high enough clay content, so they're very high quality bricks.
And then you'll use those bricks to build a prototype on that property, or?
We're actually not going to building it on that property. We're building it a mile away. The prototype is going to be my house, finally.
I see.
So the 600 square foot house is going to be for me. So after 4 years of working on this project, I'm finally going to get my own house. Because right now I'm living in
congratulations.
Thank you. I'm living in a fifth wheel right now, which is, it's okay, but I can't wait for the adobe.
Yeah, I bet. Wow, that's so amazing. If people want to be involved in this project, they have expertise, or they want to learn how to build adobe bricks or mm-hmm. be part of this mm-hmm. larger, very sustainable scheme that you've got going here, mm-hmm. how do they contact you?
Well, first I would say come hang out with us. Like, we're actually doing in-person meetups now, and uh-huh. we're also doing twice a month we're doing Zooms. So you can like hang out with us online or come in person. Our next in-person meetup, we meet at the Olive Restaurant on a Friday. So the next one is going to be September 4th, Friday at 4:00. So just remember the 4th at 4 at Olive Restaurant, which is on Route 35, just down the street from our 52 acres. And so usually we meet, we have a bite to eat, we chat, and then we take a walk around the land. So please join us for that. And then after that, we have our community ownership Zoom. So as we are going through this process of engaging in all these different creative ways to promote generational wealth and community wealth building, there's lots of different strategies for how to do this. And this community ownership Zoom is on September 1st at 10 a.m. So that's coming up next Tuesday. And I wanted to just mention this one thing that I just learned about. I don't know if you've ever heard of this, but the housing analysis that the town of Silver City did in 2025, have you read that? Okay. The long and the short of it is Silver City is fewer than 10,000 people. We need 2,069 new units yesterday. We need 20% more housing than we have. That's what's up here in Silver City. And for housing vouchers, for people who have Section 8 housing vouchers, there are 5 voucher holders per Section 8 unit. So the waiting list on Section 8 housing is insane. It's really hard to find Section 8 housing. Guess what I just learned this morning? If you have a Section 8 housing voucher, you can buy a house through something called the NACA program. That's Neighborhood Assistance Corporation of America. Google NACA plus Section 8, and you'll find out about it. It's interesting. It's, you know, you got to jump through 100 hoops to get there. You have to have, like, you know, employment, proof of everything. You have to do everything right for, like, 6 months. But then at the end of that, you get a home with no closing costs, no down payment, no private mortgage insurance, and a below market interest rate.
That's amazing.
It's amazing, right?
Thank you for that tip. Once again, NACA?
NACA plus Section 8 housing.
Okay. Right. I think that we need to spread the word on that, because I see a lot of properties that are for sale that definitely, you know, the market price of housing overall is just outrageous.
It's crazy.
It's crazy.
It's crazy.
And if you bought one of these houses, you would probably have to spend another $20,000 to get them in, you know.
In good working order.
Yep. Electrical, plumbing. Infrastructure issues.
Oh,
yeah.
20 at the minimum. Your husband does all the work. You don't know how expensive this
I
is.
I do know. My husband is worth millions, if not billions of dollars for all the old houses he has fixed up for us and others. Yeah.
Wonderful.
That was his business.
Yeah. Wonderful. Wonderful. Yeah. So, I mean, let's talk about the Camino de Sueños neighborhood for a second. You know the Camino de Sueños neighborhood?
No. Tell us about that.
Okay. So that's Silver City's affordable housing initiative. It started, I'm not sure, maybe 8 or 10 years ago. It was before I moved here in 2017, so I think it was around that time that it was going on. Silver City received a HUD grant to put in, like, lots of infrastructure. I think it was 55 home sites. And they have, you know, beautiful streets with drainage and buried cable and, you know, electrical, town septic and water and street lights, like very expensive infrastructure for 50 homes. But right around the time that they finished this infrastructure, I'm not sure what happened, and maybe somebody can inform me on what happened, but the Habitat for Humanity chapter here just collapsed and imploded and stopped building. So as far as I understand, the first 6 houses that were built there, I think Jim Druffel and Tatiana, I can never say her last name, had something to do with designing and building those houses, and they're very well-built houses. Like, these homes are high quality, going to be there forever in good shape. But in the last few years, Silver City tried to reinvigorate this affordable housing neighborhood, and what they're doing is literally giving away these lots with all this expensive infrastructure for a buck. So they're giving away the lots with, if you're willing to put a manufactured house on it. So when they opened up this program, I can't even remember what the realtor was, but I called them immediately a couple years ago when they started this program and said, hello, is it possible for me to put a small adobe on one of these lots? And they said, no, you have to buy a manufactured house. I'm like, well, I cannot live in a manufactured house and stay healthy. So thank you anyway. Goodbye. Huh. And so what has since happened is that they have put 2 homes that would be described as double wides and then 1 home that's a single wide. And apparently the single wide, the HUD contract did not allow for single wides. You're not supposed to do that. But one of those homes is now for sale. Like, go on Zillow and take a look at it, Camino de Sueños. It started 6 months ago on the market for $230,000. And this is a brand new manufactured house, so I'm not sure if they, like, removed the wheels and the chassis and attached it to the ground or what they did. I'm not sure what they did, but nobody's been... It's not affordable, so they haven't been able to sell it. So now it's down to $180,000. So someone has taken a $50,000 hit on that. And, you know, basically this is a really good example of, like, okay, this effort at affordable housing is not working. It's not taking off. People don't want that house. That's not affordable anyway. Can we try something different?
Can you build an adobe structure and put it on wheels?
No, absolutely not. No, but could we have one of those lots to build an adobe structure?
Yes, I that sounds like that would be a win-win situation.
Would they give us a shot at doing that?
Uh-huh. I don't know.
I don't either.
So who would, I'm wondering if Susan Mittelstadt would be the contact person for that.
I should ask her.
Yes, yeah, because I know she's been very proactive in her position with the city mm-hmm. about doing assessments and listening to people and listening to creative solutions. I think that that's great. Mm-hmm. I think Crooked Forest Institute exemplifies a creative solution.
Right.
And then you also uncovered a problem that most people are not aware of, and they don't talk about it.
I tell you what.
For a lot of good reasons. But your project, Holly, and it really exemplifies creative problem solving mm-hmm. in a healthy way.
Thank you.
And we don't have a whole lot of time left on the show today. An hour goes by so quickly. But could you also tell us about your partners? There's other people on the website here that are your partners in doing this Crooked Forest Institute.
Are you asking about our board of directors or advisors?
Yeah. On your website, it says about the team.
Okay, so that's our board of directors.
Okay.
So that page has not been completely updated yet. But
okay.
So Joseph Kennedy, my co-founder, is also still on the board. Josh Montoya came onto the board in the spring, and he is a young man who has become more or less obsessed with the efficiency of Adobe brick manufacturing. He lives up in Albuquerque. His family is from the Las Vegas region, and they have a ranch up there with a lot of Adobe. And he has gotten very interested in, with his engineering friends, how to employ robotics and efficiency systems. So he's come up with some very interesting systems for how to allow the Adobe bricks to dry in place on pallets and then stack them without having to flip them. It's really innovative and interesting. So I'd like to say, just for a moment, like in terms of innovation, we are not married to Adobe bricks forever. We are focusing on Adobe bricks because that is the best teaching tool.
And that is the resource that you have.
Everybody has. Right. But, you know, Adobe is actually all of these. It's also Cob. It's also rammed earth. It's also compressed earth block. And believe it or not, it's also 3D printed Adobe. That is something that is evolving, and we are keeping a very close eye on that. That's where we see this project going, is eventually 3D printing Adobe homes. Because 70% of any build cost is labor. And not that we don't want people doing labor, but there's plenty of labor still to do if we get help from robots.
Yes, indeed.
But Ronald Rail is an architect and visionary who has been really moving this forward, being able to use 3D printing equipment for Adobe. And 3D printed concrete houses have been around for a while, but that uses an admixture that uses fly ash, and that's very toxic. We're not interested in doing that. We don't want to use the concrete or the fly ash. But if we can just use the pure mud, let's go for that.
Mm. This is delicious, absolutely delicious.
So there's two more people I'd love to tell you about on our board. I just didn't want to jump. Oh, okay. So Elhaj Jang is another young man who is an absolute financing wizard. He's the one who's really helping us put together our capital stack and our investor-facing materials. If there are any investors listening, please contact us. Reach out, because we have an investor packet that's being put together right now. And then hopefully soon we're going to have Julianne Picorni join our board. Julianne is, her dad was a builder. She's been doing architectural drawings for decades. She and her partner are going to be building an Adobe themselves. She's also a motorcyclist and a mechanic and a welder. She's just a cool cat, and I just can't wait to have her on my board. But, yeah, so that's our team, and then we have incredible advisors also.
Yeah, you're having a lot of fun, and I wish you the best of luck. You've already made so much progress.
Thank you.
I mean, 4 years seems like a long time to wait for your own home, for example, mm-hmm. but it's great that you're proceeding in such a, just such a thoughtful manner and bringing in people who know what they're doing and then sharing this information. I think that's what really is the clincher for me, is how open you are to having other people come in and learn the practices and understand, you know, the underlying philosophy of it.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I'd say that our housing crisis is at a point now where we really do need to get creative.
We've tipped that crisis. Yeah. Thank you so much, Holly Noonan. And we have another minute here. Just tell us again how we can contact you.
Okay. Crookedforestinstitute.org is our website. Please hop on there. There's so much on that website. If you go to a page called All Posts, you'll see all the news we ever published, including previous interviews. We just put our previous, the Zoom that we did for community ownership and wealth building, that's up there. All of our upcoming events are up there. Go ahead and subscribe, and then you'll hear about the events that we have coming up. We've got at least three things happening every month.
Thank you so much, Holly Noonan from the Crooked Forest Institute. I feel inspired. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to Tuesday Morning Beat, KURU 89.1 FM, Silver City, New Mexico, and streaming online at KURU891.org. Take care, everyone. Be well. Be kind. And do not succumb to the chaos.